Wiggling. Are you guys ready to listen really fast today? Put your fast ears on because we got a book. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We see Noah comes to the ability to get on the hall of faith. Now listen, when you get into the hall of faith, that's big time stuff. And how many of you know God's not done writing the hall of faith? Now the Bible's finished written, but one of these days we're going to be in heaven and we're going to be able to be in the hall of faith. Now what caught Noah there? What got him to that? We're in part two of this sermon on ark building in the 21st century. And by faith, it was by faith. It's what Patrice was talking about today. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat, an ark, to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. And by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. And this is a powerful statement, because you see, when you move into a level of living by faith, you're going to begin to see all kinds of things happen for you. Many people don't make this step. They never make this step into living by faith. Now, faith is what my life is about. I've lived my whole life by faith. I was telling Jonathan the other night, Wednesday, we were talking about church life, and we were discussing about how this all started for me. And when I first got out of college, I was on staff at a church in Southern California, and I quit UPS making, at that time, this was 1977. I was making about over $10 an hour. UPS, that was pretty good money back in those days. You think, man, I'd like to make that now. I would too. Anyway, although I know I only work 1.5 days a week. That's what somebody said. Anyway, I quit a good job making good money to go into the ministry because I wanted to serve my God. I made $200 a month, and half of it went to rent and food and stuff. The other half I had to kind of tithe and figure out how to date Diane at the time. And we had a lot of cheap dates. How many of you know you can learn how to have cheap dates when you don't have any money? Still have fun. So we did. We had a lot of fun. My friend Jeff, I drove this old 48 Dodge. It was banana yellow. I mean, it was really bright yellow. It was a beautiful truck. I got people wanting to buy that thing all the time. It wasn't even mine, but I could have sold it easy. In Southern California, you know, they don't even need a title. They just take the truck. It wouldn't matter. But anyway, Jeff didn't give it to me to sell, so I drove this old truck. And we had such a blast in that old truck. Our first date, we went on a date, and Jeff let me borrow his good car, his nice car, take her on our first date. It was really amazing. So I didn't make any money, so I had to figure out how to date and all that stuff on not very much money. Well, we made it through that year. We got married. That was 31 years ago this month, May 13th, by the way. May 13th, 1977, I graduated from college. May 13th, 1978, I got married. May 13th, 1979, I started pastoring as a senior pastor in Mogi, Oklahoma, with 13 people that were leaving fast. How many of you know you got to live by faith? They set my salary at $75 a week if they had it. Most weeks they didn't. Diane commuted to Tulsa from Mogi to work with. It's the only money we had. We had a little bitty house. It was a one-bedroom house. And I told Jonathan the other night, I said, I've never worked outside the church except for one little time when I first moved here. I helped a guy that was a friend of mine, Jim Shiflett, who's now a missionary in China, run a produce route for about 3 months. He was in a hard way, and it gave me a little extra money. I got up really early in the morning and drove out through that way somewhere. I don't remember where I was. But anyway, sold produce, which was I had to quit because I had to lie, and I couldn't do that. So anyway, you know, I've always lived by faith, lived my whole life by faith. I don't know any other way to live but by faith. I mean, see, we've grown as a church, and we're doing okay financially as a church, but there's no guarantee. Nobody's guaranteeing me you're going to have a salary every week. Nobody's guaranteeing me you're going to have everything you need. Nobody's saying, you've got an unlimited source of money, just go do whatever you want to. There's nobody promising me that. I live my life by faith. And it's the only way to live, because you know what? People lose their jobs, as Patrice talked about today. And if you're depending on what you have to make you make it, then you're depending on the wrong thing. By faith, Noah built. He built. He built an ark in the middle of a desert with no water and nobody telling him how to build it. He just had a picture in his mind. God said, build this ark, and he started building. And he started preaching, and for over 100 years, he preached about there was a time coming when judgment was going to come, and the earth was going to flood, and it was going to rain. And they said, what's rain? Never seen rain before, because it had never rained on the earth before. Isn't that amazing? So people walking by, and the Bible says, as we looked in the first sermon on this series, people just kept doing the things they were doing. It wasn't anything changing them. It didn't matter how much Noah's out there banging on this ark trying to get this thing put together. This thing was huge. You know, he had to put a bunch of animals in there. And you don't want to be that close to some animals. I mean, have you been close to a kangaroo lately? I mean, they're fun to look at, but, you know, you'd like to give them a little space, right? How about a giraffe? I mean, you got to give them some. That thing must have been huge. And so Noah built the ark. He built. And when we live our life by faith, we've got to realize that we've got to build. There's something about our life where we have to build by faith. One precept upon another precept. One concept upon another concept. Opportunity of living by faith and seeing God take us through, and then we build on that and we keep building, and our faith begins to build, and we become people who live by faith. Faith in what? This world system? I hope you're not depending on that. Because as we speak, it's passing away before our very eyes. The most prosperous country in all the world is up to their eyeballs plus in debt to other people. And it's getting worse every single day. If your dependency is upon this nation and this government, may I suggest to you, you change your allegiance to the kingdom of God and of our Christ. So this world is passing away. It's passing away before our very eyes. Everything that we've ever been able to depend on, look at, think about, and hope for is kind of going by the wayside. The whole, you know, the American dream. People are going under every single day. Every time I see a business close, it hurts my heart because I know it's more than a business closed or an inconvenience to me. It was somebody's dream. It was somebody's hope. It was somebody's desire. But let me just tell you something. There's nothing wrong with having a business or trying to make it all work that way. But believe me, our focus and our heart needs to be set upon Jesus Christ and His kingdom. By faith, Noah built. He built. Jesus said, as we talked about last week, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we stand as the church of Jesus Christ, all of hell can come against us. It will never prevail. Amen. You will be an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall overcome. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. He is El Shaddai, the God of plenty. He is more than enough. Is He? He really is. Our dependency, our focus has to be to live by faith and trust God that what He says He will do, He will do. Now let's look what Noah did next. By faith, Noah built, but number two, Noah obeyed God. Now listen to me now. This is a big thing. People kind of run over this thing and go, oh, obedience. Well, yeah, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. It's more important for us to be obedient to God than it is to give or do anything else. It's a sacrifice to God. It's more important that we're obedient. Those two children that made a decision to be baptized in water today, they're taking the first little steps of what it means to be a person who lives in obedience. Not only do we need to live by faith, but we need to live an obedient life. You see, listen to me. So many people get saved and they just keep doing the same things they were doing. That's what the problem was in Noah's day. He's up there beating this wood together, trying to get this ark built because it's going to rain. He doesn't know when. He just knows it's going to rain and it's going to flood the earth. He's working with all of his might. People are going, "Are you nuts? What are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why? It's going to flood. How do you know it's going to flood? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? It's going to rain. You better get ready." This guy is serious about his business. He obeyed God. He built a big boat just because God said to, and that was the only reason. And that's all you need. And God has given us in this book everything that we need to do for life and godliness. Everything we need to walk the walk of faith. Everything that we need to do to be the man or woman God's intended us to be. And he said, obey it. Let's look at some scriptures together and find out what it was about obedience that was so important. In Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, it says, "As he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, 'God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, and the breast that nursed you.'" That's a weird thing to say, but it's what he said. It says right here in the Bible. Thought Jonathan would like that. That's an inside. "Jesus replied, 'But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice or obey it.'" Listen to me. Here's this woman in the crowd. Jesus is walking along. This woman comes in the crowd. She goes, "Blessed is your mom. Your mom's a great mom. Blessed is her womb." "Blessed are the breasts that nursed you." And Jesus said, "No, let me tell you what's blessed. It's when people learn how to be obedient." Now, he was not putting down his mom here. He was not nullifying the wonderful blessing that is on Mary, the mother of our Lord, because she gave place to the purposes of God. But how many of you know she had to say yes first? And Jesus said, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and obey it or put it into practice." That's very important that you understand this, that God wants us to be obedient to the word of God. Now, the first thing you've got to do is hear the word of God. You've got to put yourself in a place where you're going to hear what God has to say to you. Whether it be in church, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the program, that's the name of their company, but it's more than a name of their company, it's a scripture. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You want faith? Get in church more. You want more faith? Get in the Word every day. Listen to it, read it, both, it doesn't matter. Get it in you. Faith comes by hearing the Word. And then he says, "I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to be a doer of the word too. Don't just be a hearer. Don't be just a listener. But be a hearer and a doer of God's word. Be obedient." That was a nice thing this lady was saying in the story. But notice this response of Jesus. It's not just some quick, like an off-the-cuff response. He's really giving a kingdom dynamic here. He's saying, look, obedience is the important thing. We must be obedient to God's word. Amen. Now Jesus says this powerful statement in John 14, 15. He says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Little statement. You say, well, okay. You know what this really says? It says, if you don't obey my commandments, don't say you love me. See, listen to me. We cannot just keep doing what we've always been doing. The days of Jesus are approaching. That's what the complaint was about people of Noah's day. They just kept doing the same things they would always been doing. Somewhere along the line, somebody has to stand up and say, we better get a hold or we're going to get pushed out of the way because Jesus is coming soon and we need to get people ready for his coming. Not only that, we need to have ourselves ready. And one of the ways we need to get ourselves ready is to obey what God's Word says. Obey it. Put it into practice. But listen to me clearly when I tell you that you cannot say you love God and not obey His commandments. Now, are you going to miss it from time to time? Absolutely. But we need to be people who are putting into practice what God's Word says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 says, loving God means keeping His commandments. Now, I don't know how you can get it any more clear than that. Loving God means keeping His commandments. Same guy wrote this, by the way. And His commandments are not burdensome. It's not that difficult to follow God. It's not as burdensome as people want to make it. Now, let me just tell you that there's a whole lot of people have made a whole lot of rules that are not necessarily in the Word of God. So we've got to find out what God's Word says and obey that. If He says it's not burdensome, then that means that a lot of this man-made religious stuff that gets thrown out there needs to get thrown out of there. And we need to go back to the Word of God. Now, if you come to me and talk to me about obedience or talk to me about the Word of God, what I'm going to do almost every single time, unless you're a brand new Christian and you just don't have any way of getting around the Word, navigating through the Word, I'm probably going to send you on a course to find it for yourself. Because I can answer the questions. I've been serving Jesus all my life. I know nothing else. I don't say I know everything about God's Word at all, but I know a lot because I've lived a lot of life with Jesus. But it doesn't do you any good if I just give you the answer. But if I teach you how to find the answer and how to mine it out of this gold mine called the Bible, then I can help you grow as a Christian. So don't just come and expect me to give you all the answers, because that's not healthy for you. Now, if you're a brand new believer, you've never been in the Word of God before, and you're trying to navigate through the Scriptures, I'll be a little nicer to you. Those of you who have been following Jesus a long time and just been lazy, I'm going to call you to obedience. You've got to get in the Word of God for yourself. Amen. Now, for every child of God, listen, every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe Jesus is the Son of God. We must become people who believe. Now you say, I believe. But no, I mean believe it. Really believe it. You know, sometimes people have a tendency to kind of believe it just in their mind, but they've never really let it become the way they live. And I think it's important that we not only just let these be knowledgeable things that we throw around inside our mind, although that's important to understand things with your mind, but to really begin to put them into practice in the way we live. Are you putting it into practice? Are you practicing what you believe? Are you obeying God's Word? Are you living the life of faith? Are you standing strong in the midst of the storms? And lastly, Noah received righteousness by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that it's by righteousness that he received righteousness because of his faith. Now, righteousness is a huge sounding, religious sounding word. Righteousness just simply means right with God. When we say we're righteous, or we sing a song about righteousness or something like that, it just means right with God. It's not that crazy kind of a word. It's really a pretty simple word. And we can be right with God because Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead, and we receive Him, we become right with God, and then we're becoming right with God. See, there's this thing we call salvation. It happens instantly when we believe. When we believe and confess, the Bible says we're saved. But how many of you know we're in a process? So it happens immediately, and then we're in a process. We're a process people. So nobody in this room has arrived yet, including me. I'm still finding things in the Word of God. I go, what was that? In fact, listening to the Word of God like we're doing with this faith comes by hearing thing. What you're going to do is you're going to hear things you've never read before. And you're going to have to go find your Bible and look it up and go, I didn't know that was in there. Because when we listen, we use a different part of our brain than when we're reading. And so what we'll do, what you'll do is when you're listening to this, you'll go, oh, man, that's cool. You'll be preaching all the sermons around here in 40 days. Wouldn't that be good? They'll be shorter, I'm sure. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Romans 4:3 says, for the Scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Faith is how we become right with God, by trusting Him, by believing in Him, by allowing Him to be a part of our life. But faith has to somewhere turn into action. That's important. Now, we start with faith. We believe. And then we must begin to act it out or live out the life of faith. Okay? James chapter 2. James was known in the Bible as the guy who just told it how it is, by the way. Let me just tell you before I read this, James pulls no punches. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Kind of interesting, isn't it? You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe that. And they tremble. See, even demons believe who Jesus is. They tremble. You've been trembling lately? If we really knew who He was, you might tremble a lot more. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, what am I saying? Am I trying to get salvation by works? Absolutely not. Salvation comes by faith. But our faith has to somewhere get feet. So if we just sit around in this building and believe God, nothing's going to happen. Somewhere along the line, we have to take the faith that we have, put feet on it, and go live it out there in the world so that other people will say, hey, I don't know what it is about you, but whatever it is, I want. You should live a life that creates questions. Now, I didn't say live a questionable life. We should live a life that creates questions. In other words, people are saying, what is it about you? You're different. You're different than my friend, other friends. You're living life different. What is it about you? What is it about your life? I want to know. I need to know what it is about you. And you pull up a chair and you say, let me just tell you here. Simple as this. 2,000 plus years ago, there's a man came to this planet. He was absolutely perfect because he was not only man, he was God. And he came to this planet and he lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 and a half years. Never made a mistake, never missed the mark. That's what sin means. At the end of his life, he died on a cross. They beat him with a whip. They put nails into his hands and into his feet. They hung him from a cross. They put a spear in his side. They put a crown of thorns on his head. All of his blood was completely shed. All of it. And he died. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he was talking about a lot of things, but there's one thing really important that you understand. He was saying nobody else ever has to do this again. The work is accomplished completely. Once and for all. Isn't that good news? That's not the best news. Jesus not only died, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And because of his resurrection power, because of the resurrection power that raised him from the dead, you and I have the ability to live a brand new life. Old things are passed away. All things become brand new. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me give you this news. If you ask Jesus into your heart today, everything that's happened from May 3rd, 2009 back does not exist any longer. It is completely removed from your life. And from this moment on, you get a new, brand new beginning, a new start. And those of you who have received that are looking at me with this glow on your face because you know what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Father, by faith, Noah built. Noah obeyed. And Noah is righteous because of his faith. And so are we, Lord, made righteous by our ability to believe in you. And then, Lord, as we become right with you, then we want to do everything we can to please you. We want to do all that we can to honor you. We want to live our life for you. We want to obey you. We want to walk hard after you. We want to be your men and women, full of your grace and mercy. So help us, God, as we begin to build the ark of our life for the coming judgment that's going to come upon this earth, as we prepare for the days ahead, the last days, let us prepare first by being people of faith and obedience and righteousness. And then, Lord, we can be prepared to not keep doing what we've always done, but live a life that's different, set apart for you. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, please, no one looking around, just for a couple more minutes. Then we're going to sing a couple songs and go home. But if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior and Lord. Maybe you've been religious, maybe you've been around religion, but you've never really said, Jesus, come into my life, make me brand new. Let the past be gone and the new to come. And you need to do that today. Or maybe sometime back in your life you made that choice, but you've walked away from Him. You've walked your own path, your own righteousness. You've done life your way and you haven't really done it God's way. And you'd like to make your life right with God today, either for the first time or recommitting your life to Jesus. Right there in the privacy of your seat with no one looking around, just you, God, and me by way of agreement with you. Just lift your hand and put it right back down again. I just want to end this service by praying for you. I need Jesus in my life. For the first time, or recommit your life to Jesus. Anyone like that today? I need Jesus in my life. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for that, what you're doing in people's lives. And those who know you, and walking with you, help us live by faith. Let us build the ark of our life prepared for the coming judgment that's coming on this world so that we can be ready for your return. Let us tell everybody we can. You saved Noah and you'll save us through the rapture, but let us tell everybody we can on the way. Let us live by obedience, Lord. Let us really walk hard after you. And let us be right with you because of our faith. And let us put that faith into action as we work for you in these days. In Jesus' name.